Tonight we're going to go back into the book of Mark. This time we're going in Mark chapter 12, verse 35. We're going to still deal with the subject of seeing Jesus, because that's very important that we do that. This subject will be seeing Jesus as he is eliminates seeing others for more than what they are. Seeing Jesus as high and lifted up keeps us from lifting up other people higher than they should be. There should be no one elevated above the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, as we've been going through this passage, we've seen people that have done everything in their power to make Jesus not shine like he does shine. Make his truth not as true as it is. Make his wisdom less than the wisdom that comes straight from the mouth of God. And here in this passage, we're going to see people that are once again trying to elevate themselves so that they can be seen as high and as lifted up and as righteous and as the ones that God will be ultimately pleased with. Oh, but there's someone there in the midst who gives them something to look up to, and when they don't see it, they find themselves coming short. If they don't find themselves coming short now, they will in the judgment. And are you going to read for us tonight, if you are, started verse 35?
And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the Son of David?
Jesus, sweet Jesus, I know you people say that sometimes, they don't mean nothing about it, but I do mean it. Anybody that would die for my sins, anybody that would teach me how to be a man, anybody that would teach me from being, take me from being selfish, and teach me how to embrace responsibility, I'm talking about man style, embrace responsibility and have love for someone other than myself, that I'm able to love somebody even if they're not fully able to benefit me, that's a sweetness that's not the kind of sweetness when you're talking about, oh, that's a sweet baby. We're talking about the kind of sweetness that makes somebody's life worth joy. And I say, they were having problem with Jesus. They had tried Jesus earlier. They wanted to know about somebody being raised from the dead. Whose wife would she be? And they don't even believe in resurrection of the dead, the Sadducees. Jesus had to break them off. Then they wanted to know, what's the great commandment then? And Jesus had to tell them what the great commandment was. And so they had gone through all of these little trials or little tests that they had brought his way. And the most ugly one was, and Jesus had to bust them on that one, they got an image of a coin with Caesar's picture on it. And they want to know, whose image, whose superscription is on. Well, Jesus asked them that because they want to know, should we give Caesar tax? And Jesus said, this thing is in the image and the likeness of Caesar. Give it to him. That's his honor. But you all fail to give God the honor that he deserves. So he said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, that which has his image and his superscription or his engraving. Do the same thing to God if you want to see God as he is. So all of these little things they had brought up, testing him, brought us to verse 35. So in verse 35, Jesus is taking the full stage now. And as he talked, the words flowing from his mouth, rivers of life to those that would hear. In the temple. Notice he's teaching in the temple, Anne. See, one of the most magnificent things about the temple is that's the place where learning is supposed to take place. That's the place where truth is supposed to be dispersed. And we are supposed to be the temple of God, and he should be teaching inside of us, both receiving and giving. Well, he says, how say the scribes, the one that don't like me, that Christ or Messiah is the Son of David? How do they say that? Verse 36.
For David himself said, by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Now, how in the world is it that David could say that Messiah said that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Let's explain this. They knew that Messiah was supposed to be the son of David. 2 Samuel, I believe, chapter 7 and 14, God had promised that there would be a son of David that would always sit on the throne. Let me turn to it right quick so that you can see that they would have had an idea of what he's talking about. 2 Samuel 7 and 14, God said, I'll start in verse 13. He's talking to David. I better do it 12. 12 is even better. So he's talking to David and said, when thy days be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. Notice there is a seed that's going to come out of the bowels of David, not the bowels as we think, but we're talking about the innermost being of David, his loins in particular. I will set him up, your seed, after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom, how long, Ann? Forever. Verse 14, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with a rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. That's an awesome promise, isn't it, Ann? This said that there would be someone that would come from David's loins. That person that would come from David's loins, he would be the individual that would have an everlasting kingdom. It would last forever and ever. And he said that that thing is going to be established that way. But Jesus asked them the question, if David is the father of Messiah, how does he call him Lord? Well, the thing is, what we need to understand, there's another problem that's going there. The problem is going there is God has made a promise to David that he would have a son that would reign on his throne forever. So, and if you will read Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, I want to show this thing being fulfilled. Then we'll go back to Mark and we'll tie up all the loose ends, make a nice sack of potatoes, and we're going to have us a meal. Luke chapter 1, and you can actually, you ought to read 27, because it's going to make sure we understand that it's a relative of David.
To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph.
So Gabriel, the angel, is gone to a virgin that's espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of who?
David.
Read.
And the virgin's name was Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.
Mm-hmm.
And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be.
30.
And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.
Let's get two things straight. The angel Gabriel came to Bethlehem to the house of a virgin that was espoused to a man named Joseph. Her name was Mary, and she was of the household of who?
David.
And he said that she would have a son. Am I right?
Yes.
And she said that she would have the son. Read some more about that son.
And he shall be great.
She's going to have a son. And the son is going to be great. He's not going to be a chump. Please read.
And shall be called the Son of the Highest.
The Son of the Highest. Wait a minute. This woman that is highly favored is going to bring forth a son, going to be called Jesus. He shall be great and called the Son of the Highest. We're talking about Son of God. Read.
And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
Wait a minute. Is David the highest?
No.
But he said he's going to give him the throne of his father
David.
Now we got to understand something dynamic is taking place here that the average person might miss. First of all, he's going to be called the Son of the Highest. That's talking about God, the Most High, El Elyon. And it says he's going to, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Obviously, that this person is going to be the Son of God and yet the Son of David. Go figure. Read some more.
And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever.
Wait a minute. When I was back there reading in 2 Samuel, I was reading in 2 Samuel and God made that magnificent promise and he told David that you were going to have a son and that son would have him a throne and that son would reign over that house forever. Didn't he say it?
Yes.
And he said his kingdom would be forever. I'm submitting to you that this is the fulfillment of this. Two people can't be ruling forever if it's one ruler. Mm-hmm. So they must be the same. Read on.
And of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Of this person's kingdom, the scripture says, there shall be no end. Just in case we get a little bit confused, which sometimes we as people can get the tendency to do, I just want to make sure that I want you to see what it said. 2 Samuel 7 and 16 says, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever according to all these words and according to this vision did Nathan speak unto David. So we're talking about David ruling on that throne forever. Now let's go back to where we were at Mark and let's tie the loose ends up. And if you take 35 and 36 again, and then we'll see how this thing works.
And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the Son of David?
How do the scribes say that the one that's anointed, the Messiah, the King Messiah, the one that would come from David, the one that would have a throne that would reign forever and nobody would ever be able to rule over you all again? How would they say, how did they say that he was the Son of David? Is that what they say? He says, how say that the scribe is the Son of David? And then he throws this perplexing question, verse 36.
For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Verse 37.
David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son?
And the common people
heard him gladly.
The thing that Jesus brought to their attention was this. If Messiah, the anointed one, is the Son of David, how can David call someone that hasn't been born yet his son, Lord? Unless the one that David is saying, that is saying the Lord said to my Lord, was already existing. Slow it down, Tim. For David, verse 36, himself said by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, the Lord, that's capital L-O-R-D, that's where we would get Yahweh, said to my Lord, that would be Adonai. The Lord said to my, whoever my Lord is, that's Messiah. The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool. David is acknowledging that his Lord is the one that was told to sit on his right hand till he makes his enemies his footstool even before he was born. So Jesus says, if David calls him Lord, whence is he his son? And the common people heard him gladly. He's saying, you all don't see me. I'm right here in front of you. But David saw me. The angel explained something to Mary. He explained to Mary that he's the Son of the Highest and yet the Son of David. Jesus, Ann and I was talking about this just yesterday. How sweet it is for us to talk about the Word of God. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, Jesus is making a statement in the last chapter, in the last book of the Bible. He says, verse 16, chapter 22, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. And the bright and morning star. The same question Jesus could have asked is, how is Messiah the root of David and the offspring of David? Mm-hmm. How does Messiah precede David and be David's Lord and be David's root where David gets his origin and still be the offspring? You don't see me, do you? You don't see me as God coming into the flesh through a line of humanity, and I come through a priestly line. I come through a kingly line. Somebody said David wasn't a priest. I said, you're not familiar to David offered sacrifices and his sons, but that's another issue. But the thing is, I came through that line. I'm the root of David and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I pre-exist David, and yet I determined, David, I'm going to bring my son through you. And it said the common people heard him glaring. Are we seeing him? Are we seeing that he's not the one to be played with? Are we not seeing that he has done and have foretold things, even the way he was, I'll choose who I'll be born through. I'll choose the family in which I will let myself be encased in flesh. I am God's son, God the Son, and yet I'm going to take humanity and I'm going to be the son of David as well, and I'm still going to be his Lord. I'm not going to diminish aught in being his Lord. Verse 33, let's see if we can see him some more.
Verse 38.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you very much.
And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace.
Now we have seen two places. One, you'd have to get the message before that I gave, where they kept testing Jesus with these questions about taxes and about death and the resurrection, trying to make themselves look big, make themselves look like they were wise, and if they knew all kind of wisdom, and make Jesus look small in the eyes of the people. And then we see Jesus show that those that exalt themselves will be abased, because they had no answer for that question, because that question in of itself showed them that they would be under Jesus themselves. If they were going to be under Messiah, the King of David, then don't you know that if the Messiah is really David's root, and if really he is the Lord of David, he is more than what you could ever be. Your testing is nothing. You're the one that's on test for trying to test me. So then he says, he shows them that I'm the one to be looked up to, not them. And now he's showing them, beware of the scribes, which love to go about in long clothing and what?
And love salutation.
Reverend, rabbi, professor, whatever it is. They love salutations where?
In the marketplace.
Love to be called by those magnificent ecclesiastical, rabbinical, clerical terms in the streets, in the marketplace. What else do they have problems with?
And the chief seats. In the synagogue.
And love to be set up in the foremost prestigious seats. In the synagogues, places of religious gatherings, and
the uppermost rooms at feast.
And if there's going to be a banquet or a feast, put us in the big place. Yet I'm the son of David and the root of David. Beware of these kind of people that want to be seen, that want to be recognized, that love to wear extra long clothing so you would think they're somebody. Love to have salutations. Hello, Reverend, Rabbi, Pastor, Bishop, Apostle, Imam, yes, Holiness. In the marketplaces. Love to have the most magnificently wonderful, magnificently magnificent, wonderful, prestigious seat in the synagogue, and love the best rooms, private VIP rooms at the feast. What else about them?
Which devour widows' houses.
And the thing that they love to do, because they love to be seen, they love to be paid for being seen, they come in and take the advantage of the needy, of the widow that does not have someone to give them benefits or to look out for them. They come and they devour their houses like a ravenous, mangy dog ravaging your last biscuit that you dropped and you didn't know you dropped it. Read.
And for pretense, make long prayers.
And can drop down into a long prayer. A long prayer. If the longer they pray, the more they can talk to God. They can break into a long prayer. And Jesus said it's pretense. Read on.
These shall receive greater damnation.
Jesus said, watch out for somebody that's always got a show. It's the way they dress. It's the salutation they like. They got to have the best seats. They got the, but they're all about the money. And you can hear them making a long prayer. Our Father, our Father, our Father, our most holy Father, our Father Jesus. And they just go on and on and on. I bet they don't talk to God like that if they have a wreck and break their leg. I bet they don't pray like that if they find out that they just, somebody in their family just had a wreck. But when you making showtime and you want people to look up to you for who you are, you want to be seen. Jesus is showing you that these kind of people, these are the ones that want to be seen. But he said, these shall receive what?
Greater damnation.
Do you understand that there's a damnation? But there's a greater damnation. Let me read. The scripture has that word, the Greek word there is perisoteros. What would perisoteros mean? It translates more, four times, greater three times, more abundant three times. Let's get a definition. Exceeding some number or measure of rank or need, over and above, more than is necessary, super added. Exceeding abundantly, supremely, something furthermore, much more than all, more plainly, superior, extraordinary, surpassing uncommon preeminence, superiority, more eminent, more remarkable, more excellent. Every definition that I gave showed that these are the kind of people that God gonna break them off some and then some more and some more in a superlative manner. Well, they're good enough. Bless his everlasting name. Jesus said they want to be seen. They'll be seen. The thing is, my Father sees them. That's the bad part. Read the next one, please.
And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much.
Jesus was watching how they were doing the offering. I've told you how the people teach. I've already shown you through my question who needs to be seen and honored. Now I'm showing you those that demand honor by how they treat people. Now I'm going to show you another one that comes from the backside of the religious thing that can be seen. And so they were putting money in the treasury. And some, he said, they put in, the rich put in much. Oh, he really loves God. He's so philanthropical. He cares about the things of God exceedingly much. Oh, if I could give like that. Oh, if I had a heart for ministry and giving. Oh, I'm a hilarious giver. Oh, he tithes. He gives a great, wonderful sacrifices. I would love to be like him. I know he got to love the Lord all the way. God got a special place for him. Read what Jesus said about that.
And there came a certain poor widow.
Somebody that ain't worthy to be seen. A poor widow.
And she threw in 2 mites.
The woman threw in 2 mites. Now, we're not talking about dust mites or something like that, you know, because I work in the pest control industry. And we talk about mites. We talking about that. But the Greek word here is lepton. And the word is translated as mite. It means a thin, small, brass coin. The equivalent to an eighth part is worth about 1/5 of a cent. That means it wasn't even half of a cent, half of a penny. And that was at that time. So she threw in 2 mites, and the Bible says that makes a what?
Farthing.
That makes a farthing. At the most, it could be 3/8 of a cent. Now, where are we going with this, Tim? We have people here that still want to be seen. Mm-hmm. Seen by man and seen by God. That God, I'm dedicated to you. You see how much I gave you? Mm-hmm. And then we had this other woman She gave based on what she had. But she gave. She gave. You see, you have people today that don't give. And it's okay if they don't give, because I promise you, I'll never beg them to give a doggone piece of dog meat in the morning to a mangy dog. Let him starve. But when it comes to the things of God, if a person don't realize that there's a time that you have to give to see that God's work go on, and you can't tell what God's work going on, that's on you. Ain't gonna let it worry me. But it said he saw this widow giving two mites, which make a farthing. Verse 43, he's going to give his thoughts.
And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury.
44.
For all they that did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want, did cast in all that she had, even all her living.
This thing was so remarkable to Jesus. Can I do the Baptist voice? It was so remarkable to Jesus that he wanted them to see him as he really is and how he sees the things when it comes to the offering. He called together a class. It was so remarkable to him. He didn't just let it go. He called up. You know, sometimes I talk to you, D, I think it's something profound, and I feel like I want to be the first one to share this to you. If nobody else did it, I want to be first. I want that to be burned in your memory. Tim taught me this. I want that pleasure. It's not only my responsibility, it's my pleasure to give him wisdom. Don't you feel good when you teach me something I don't know? That's what it's for. When Jesus, we're not going to let this moment pass, because he know how people think. Mm-hmm. They throwing all this money. The Bible says, verse 43, what's the first part in black if you ever read the Bible, Ann? Mm-hmm. Read 43, the black words.
And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them.
He called them together. Look, don't be impressed by how much money people put in to be seen. Don't be impressed when somebody got a whole lot and they give a lot. Because that's not how you need to see me. You need to see me as one that looks at the individual's heart and looks at what the individual is giving with what they have. I saw that this woman, she was poor. She's a widow, has no one taking care of her, and she gave all that she had for the love of the service of God in this place where they're taking advantage of people. Mm. How do you know they're taking advantage of people? I read the first part of the 12th chapter. And Jesus said, but they are the abundance. Jesus has just shown who it is that need to be seen. It's me. If you can figure out how David can call his son Lord before his son is born, you might realize who you need to see. But if all you can see is somebody that's done a miracle, somebody that you can try to find fault with, you'll never see me. What you'll be impressed by is somebody with a long robe. You'll be impressed with somebody with a long prayer. You'll be impressed with somebody that'll end up taking your money and making you broke. You'll be impressed by some people that can throw money into the table, and you'll miss out on the one that's not big and ostentatious, the one that with their heart is interested in doing the things of God. Seeing Jesus as he is, seeing Jesus as he is will cause us not to see other people in a grandiose manner that they shouldn't be placed in. Mm. It'll bring other people down to the level where they need to be. Mm. Unless you're the root of David and the offspring, how are you going to top that? Unless you're the son of the highest and the son of David, how are you going to top that? Unless your kingdom has no end. Mm. And so when Jesus made these statements, he just showed them, I own the kingdom. I'm your only salvation. I'm the only one. And you beware of people that want you to look up to them for their external. Whether it's how they dress, how they like to be addressed as reverend or whatever religious title, how they like to make their long prayers, how they like to throw their money around and say we're doing it for the service. What you be impressed by is what impresses me. When you see me as I am, you'll begin to know what is impressive and what is not. How do we see Jesus? Do we see him as equal to the Dalai Lama? Do we see him as equal to the Buddha or some imam? Do we see him like some people, they see him equal to Martin Luther King? Yeah, they do. They put him in the same voice. Some people see him as no more than Muhammad. They say he's just a prophet. But what people fail to understand is that Martin Luther King don't have a kingdom. The Dalai Lama don't have a kingdom. Muhammad don't have a kingdom. He's buried. His body is separated. Khotan is his name. He called himself the one to be praised. Siddhartha, the Buddha, he don't have a kingdom. And yet, we look up to somebody that's got a word. I see people look up to people called, they say, Ibobo Shantale Moko Shantale Moko Pata. And say they speaking in tongues. That cause somebody to say something you don't understand don't mean they speaking in tongues. Look at the life they live. Sometimes they speak in tongues to call themselves a prayer language, make these long prayers in front of people, and then the next thing they want your money, or they want your praise and their adoration. If you want my doggone praise, if you want my adoration, show me how you love God and serve your brother. You don't love God's word, you don't get my praise. No more than somebody playing basketball and they did well, they get praise for that. Somebody playing football well, or somebody build a nice house or a nice car, sweep the yard real good, you get praise for that. But that's something anybody can attain to. But when it comes to the things of God, you want to attain the things of God? You're going to have to get down, buddy. Down. Down. When you can count the toes on an ant's foot, you're about low enough for you to be able to see where the Lord can use you. Because he don't have nobody up equal with him. You got to get down so that he can teach you what he wants you to know. You got to get down where you can look up and see him. When you're down far enough to see him and he feels your eye, nobody else is impressive. Unless you realize he's giving them that makes them impressive.